Let me be perfectly clear. The thoughts, ideas, concepts, and experiences about to be revealed and discussed over the course of the next hour do not in any way reflect the policy direction of this radio station and or its board of directors, members, sponsors, or supporters, and are solely the result of vast hours of research and introspection on the part of the host, spread over a lifetime of experience spanning 8 decades and supported by the sympathies of hordes of progressive citizens of the world. Have your notebooks ready. There will be a test. This is CKVS FM 93.7, the voice of choice, and this is your intrepid host of DTMM, Edgar Murdoch, the Bird Dog, technically supported by Dan White, Mr. Fix-It, which he can do and has the credentials to prove it. It's too dark to put the keys in my ignition, and the morning sun is yet to climb my hood ornament. But before too long, I might see those flashing red lights. Look out, Mama, 'cause I'm coming home tonight. Think I'll roll another number for the road. I feel able to get under any load. Though my feet aren't on the ground, I've been standing on the sound of some open-hearted people going down. And the subject, folks, that we are going to discuss this morning is, wait for it, medical marijuana. The legal practice of using pot, weed, ganja, whatever you wish to call it. The medical profession prefers to use the term cannabis in order to relieve serious debilitating symptoms from disease and in some cases provide curative therapies that have been proven to relieve and reverse certain maladies. The workplace, employment agencies, insurance companies, lawmakers, employers, and employees all have a very dramatic stake in how the protocol unfolds, and despite one's own personal opinion or attitude, the direction it takes is being very seriously considered by all parties. There has been a plethora of misinformation and disinformation leading to abject ignorance and a dearth of responsible, informative dialogue to prove or to provide an individual with a balanced approach to the issue. The latest issue of Truck News, a national transportation periodical, has inadvertently vaulted me into the center of the discussion by printing an article using my name and experience with the headline, "Retired Trucker Touts Benefits of Marijuana." Oops, there it is now. Entrenched in the public domain, Edgar Murdoch, CKVS 93.7, host of Driving Through My Memories, is a medical marijuana user. My introduction to Mary Jane occurred some 40 or so years ago when I was dragged kicking and screaming into the clutches of a young couple with whom I had musical connections. My experience was short-lived, only a few tokes of an afternoon. However, it was long enough to give me an idea as to its psychotropic properties. Then, within the last year, as a result of considerable arthritic pain and discomfort, including insomnia, the suggestion was made to try this natural medical alternative to traditional therapies. The results were so dramatic, so beneficial, that I climbed aboard the BC Bud Express, and it's been hair straight back, scarf blown in the wind ever since. Cannabis has been used as a beneficial medicinal adjunct for thousands of years by many cultures globally. Today it is used in the recovery of chemotherapy patients, AIDS victims, controls insulin levels, and the prevention of diabetes, in treating those who suffer from spinal cord injuries, arthritis, multiple sclerosis, glaucoma, epilepsy, depression, and many other ailments, and indeed has shown in some cases to actually prevent certain cancers from spreading. And unlike other prescription medications, medical marijuana has no toxic or potentially lethal implications. While thousands upon thousands of patients in and out of hospitals die every year to misdiagnoses and wrongly prescribed drugs, there has never been a documented case of a cannabis-induced fatality. In fact, the Federal Drug Administration, the FDA, that criminally infested agency has already approved drugs that do kill 106,000 Americans every year. Its drug reviewers receive applications for new drugs from pharmaceuticals, which are rubber-stamped as safe when they are not safe, and they have not received, according to the FDA policies, they must be reviewed. They have not been reviewed. And one whistleblower said there have been threats of imprisonment from above and physical violence perpetrated against their children and families if they don't go along with it. It has been documented that the FDA received $526 million in dirty money in 2010 from leading big pharma cartels in order to promote their poison. Marijuana is much safer than some foods that we regularly consume, and is one of the safest of all therapeutic naturally grown substances known to mankind. And speaking of food, that's exactly the form of cannabis that I consume. I do not, I will not, smoke it, ever. I am not in the least interested in its mind-altering properties. The residue from the plant I mix with oatmeal, a little flour, a touch of baking powder, raisins, dates, cranberries, cacao, a powerful antioxidant in itself, lots of cinnamon, a very beneficial spice, turbinado, which is the healthier, less refined brown sugar, and pure butter. And voila, one has a very delicious and a very therapeutic confection. The argument is often tainted with outcries of the effect the more liberal legal use of the substance might have on our youth. To this innocent diversion, I just opened my eyes a bit wider in disbelief. What youth has not been exposed to the street version of this misjudged product? It must be treated like alcohol and put on the top shelf, along with your whiskey or gin or rum, away from the reach of children. Ignoring that it exists and sweeping the culture under the rug is the worst possible method of moving forward on this issue. Education and a positive approach from early childhood will provide a foundation of valid information from which mature choices may be made at a later date. Yes, inappropriate consumption of marijuana, just like any substance, may lead to physical dependence. However, of cannabis, caffeine, cocaine, alcohol, heroin, and nicotine, nicotine is the most addictive, and cannabis is the least. Even coffee is more addictive than Mary Jane. Physical dependence is different from addiction. Dependence occurs when the body develops withdrawal symptoms when stopping intake of a substance. Addiction is the psychological craving and the inability to control that intake, regardless of the harm the individual is aware it may cause. So far, there has been no known harm in the medicinal application of marijuana. Zero adverse effects have been found. And this is all predicated, of course, on the responsible use of the product. The marijuana plant has many compounds, and those cultivated for medicinal applications by designated horticultural experts have lower CBN and CBD concentrations, the psychoactive property of cannabis, while maintaining the potency and beneficial levels of TCH, the therapeutic characteristics of the herb. As in the prospect of taking any pharmaceutical or drug, it is a matter of personal choice, and the individual ought to take the time and effort to explore all aspects, both beneficial and detrimental, that are associated with the use of the product. Do the research. Making an appointment to discuss the pros and cons with one's medical practitioner is also recommended. The times are changing, folks. The UBCM, that's the Union of British Columbia Municipalities, voted overwhelmingly to approve the decriminalization of cannabis. A recent poll indicated that 76% of doctors in 56 U.S. and Canadian jurisdictions approved of the use of medical marijuana. The one danger, which is true of most items left unattended, is accessibility by young children and household pets who will put anything and everything in their mouths to test for edible quality. As mentioned earlier, as in all drugs, including alcohol, these items ought to be placed on the top shelf, out of reach and mind. Also, pesticides or herbicides used in production may be problematic, so it is incumbent on one to know and establish a safe source. Incidentally, the FDA is great on collecting data, which it sits on for decades while collecting vast sums of hush money from giant pharmaceuticals that run and or ruin the world, however you wish to look at it. In 2012, 12 years ago, the FDA began collecting data on the deleterious effects of acetaminophen, the ingredient in over-the-counter pain medications such as aspirin and Tylenol. Today, it is a well-known fact that an overdose of acetaminophen can and does cause severe liver damage, sometimes requiring a transplant and on occasion resulting in death. The drug sends 78,000 Americans to the emergency room every year, and hundreds die. What has the FDA done to offset this knowledge? Absolutely nothing. This is CKVS FM 93.7, the voice of choice. This is the Bird Dog, and you are listening to Driving Through My Memories. Now, the reason I have broached this topic this morning is because of the quandary that medical marijuana has created in the workplace, and it's found its way into the transportation industry. And there's been much wringing of hands, gnashing of teeth, and general agonizing, literally in one case, over the issues involved. First of all, because trucking in the excited states comes under federal law, because cannabis there in any form in that context is illegal, zero tolerance exists for any use of medical or recreational drugs, despite the decriminalization of pot in Colorado and Washington. So, Canadian truckers entering the U.S. are forbidden to use marijuana, regardless of whether or not they have a prescription, and it is legal for them to take it as a medication in this country. But there is also some controversy on this side of the border as to the employability of a commercial driver who is on a prescription for medical marijuana. Patty Satok, a professional commercial driver of 13 years, passed a driving test, went through orientation, was hired by a trucking company in southern Ontario to start work immediately. Then it was revealed, through a positive pre-employment drug test, that she had a legal prescription for medical marijuana, which she uses when off-duty to relieve debilitating pain due to an on-the-job injury she suffered in 2005 when a 1,500-pound skid fell on top of her. Well, that'll do it. The company, at least temporarily, withdrew its offer while it considers the ramifications of the failed drug test. Satok quotes from the company's own policy manual that the legal use of prescription drugs is permitted on the job if it doesn't impair an individual's ability to effectively perform essential job functions or endanger the safety of others. It goes on to say that drivers may not possess, distribute, sell, or be under the influence of alcohol or illegal drugs. Health Canada considers medical marijuana to be a legal drug and not an illegal substance, and Satok's stance is that a well-rested, pain-free driver who has taken the drug long before going on duty is safer than one who is sleep-deprived and in pain while on the job. She has a very good point there. There are approximately 40,000 Canadians with a prescription to use medical marijuana, and the number is growing, so it could become a big deal. And there are professional drivers out there taking prescription drugs such as morphine, OxyContin, and others that have more negative side effects than cannabis, and Health Canada and the police say they're legal. So what's the deal? The Canadian Human Rights Code prohibits discrimination on the basis of disability. An individual who requires a prescription to treat a medical problem is entitled to accommodation to the point of undue hardship. Driving a truck would come under that purview. Ron Marzell, a Toronto lawyer who specializes in Canada's marijuana laws, says medical marijuana is not always impairing. For some people, it can be, he said. It's very unique to the individual. For some people, the use of medical cannabis can be impairing, and they shouldn't be driving. For some people, however, it's not impairing, and there have even been court cases where the courts have said, yes, this person was consuming cannabis, however, based on the evidence, they weren't impaired. They were perfectly functional. So it's a very tricky area for both employers and employees. And because the question is so new, and since there has yet to be formal policies established to address the conundrum, insurance companies are mute as to what the future might bring to bear. While the debate is mired in murky waters here in Canada, the situation south of the border is perfectly clear. Don't go near it. The border, that is, if you've even thought about smoking a doobie for fun or taking medical pot for pain and suffering. It's all the same down there. A failed drug test is a failed drug test, no matter how it was achieved. And the human body can take up to 30 days to rid itself of cannabis residue. Okay, so no doobies if you're planning on rocking down the highway in the good old U.S. of A. in a big rig. We will no doubt revisit the cannabis train again, but for now there is considerable fodder for the gold grist mill to mull over. In 2011, Canadians bought $9 billion worth of beer. They spent $3 billion on cannabis too. So it's already out there, and there are billions of dollars to be cashed in from its use. So adding a few commercial drivers with a legal medical marijuana prescription to the mix will not, in my opinion, have any effect whatsoever on the safety and security of our nation's roads, our youth, or society for that matter. By the way, the Health Canada application to possess dried marijuana for medical relief of symptoms is 18 pages of bureaucratic nonsense and requires the attachment of two recent photos, one signed by one's doctor. Stay tuned. More news on the transportation front. You can run, but you can't hide. Modern automotive technology has added a new chapter to crash investigations. A vehicle's ECM, the engine command module, records engine and vehicle performance and as a result provides a window into driver behavior as well. In the case of the driver of the Walmart truck that killed comedian James McNair and put Saturday Night Live's Tracy Morgan in hospital, the truck's ECM indicated that the vehicle was traveling 20 miles an hour over the posted limit 20 seconds prior to the incident. The accident occurred in a highway construction zone where the speed had been reduced to 45 miles per hour with plenty of warning of both speed reduction and lane closures, but the truck's ECM recorded a speed of 65 miles per hour in the 45 mile per hour zone. The driver was compliant with the hours of service regulations. However, as we've pointed out before and will reiterate once again, all the regulations in the world cannot legislate responsibility, accountability, and common sense. The driver has pleaded not guilty to charges of vehicular homicide and auto assault. Chit-chat around the truck stop coffee bar has pretty much agreed that everybody speeds, even the district attorney that laid the charges, and the judge who will likely hear the case. And, yes, there may be some truth to all of that, but somewhere along the line, someone has to be accountable for the stupidity. Not everyone who speeds is involved in a crash that kills an innocent victim. This is where personal responsibility and common sense ought to enter the big picture. Think about this, folks, next time you are speeding through a work zone with a reduced speed limit, or anywhere for that matter where you might encounter other traffic or pedestrians. And make no mistake, this is not an isolated case or unique in any detail other than the high profile that it has received because of the celebrity status of the victims and the public awareness of the very large corporation whose truck was involved. Now, as to mechanical fitness, there is a mandatory inspection following a major crash in order to determine if there was a mechanical failure that contributed to the cause. Besides that, in British Columbia, all commercial vehicles with a gross vehicle weight of 8,200 kilograms or more must undergo a mechanical inspection every 6 months at a designated government-approved facility. They're called DIFs, D-I-F, Designated Inspection Facilities. There's a decal attached to one of the garage doors on each, identifying it as such, and of course the mechanics performing the inspections must also be licensed and certified by the ministry. Semi-trailers must also be inspected but annually. Little decal stickers, they may be red or yellow, are applied to the passenger side window of the tractor, and they're updated when required. PMVIs, periodic motor vehicle inspections, may be carried out on the road anywhere in North America, and the result, if passed, will be a decal on the passenger side windshield with the letters CVSA. These are good for 6 months and are colored depending on the calendar quarter. The trailer safety decal is also on the passenger side at the front of the trailer at the bottom near the scrub rail. Its dominant color is blue and white. You may have a look next time you are close to one of these locations on a rig. All vehicles used to transport passengers and every vehicle newly registered in BC must also undergo an inspection at a DIF. If a unit is purchased out of province, OOP, it may be taken to a law enforcement facility in the jurisdiction where it was bought to verify the serial number, but once arriving in the province of registration, must be inspected once again for validity. So much to think about. You are listening to CKVS FM 93.7, currently tuned in to DTMM with your host, Ed Murdoch. This show is repeated on Tuesday at 4, followed by Steve Corey and the Core of the Matter at 5. It's also repeated Thursday at 10, following Festival Radio Live with Hugo Rampin at 9, Thursday evenings at 7. You must also really tune into Acoustic Avenue. What a great show with a great guy, Ted Crouch. On the product front, Kenworth Trucks is purportedly churning out 147 new units daily of the model T680, advertised as the most fuel-efficient Kenworth ever. In order to qualify, the truck must have at least one of these options: wide base tires, a smart wheel steering wheel, Kenworth's idle management system, or a tire pressure monitoring system. Remember? TPMS. Wide base single tires are those big fat ones. A smart wheel steering wheel has cruise control buttons built into it, so a driver doesn't have to reach to the dash to activate the same. Good grief. The idle management system shuts the truck down after 5 minutes of idling, a good feature. And we talked about the TPMS, the tire pressure monitoring system, last show. Now, the only thing that is missing is a statement regarding the economy one might expect from this beast. However, in my opinion, it would all depend on variables such as weather and road conditions, the weight dimensions of the cargo or the load, and, of course, the driver and how the vehicle is being operated. Idle Smart, since 2007, is a U.S. company based in Kansas that has created an automated stop-start engine system that continuously monitors in-cab as well as ambient temperatures and battery power in order to maintain year-round cab comfort and fleet uptime, keeping batteries charged and engines warm while reducing idle time. One company that experimented with one truck has declared a 47% reduction in idle time last winter on that one truck alone, and it has ordered the devices for its entire fleet. Idle Smart boasts savings in idle time of up to 70%. The system is backed by a lifetime warranty, and the initial cost per unit is in the vicinity of $2,500. Cargo theft is an ongoing threat. When I was leased to a division of Reimer Express years ago when we lived in Regina, a team brought a load of cigarettes from Montreal and dropped it against the fence in the locked compound. Thieves, in the middle of the night, cut a hole in the fence and stripped the trailer. When pulling for another Manitoba-based outfit in the 60s, many of our trailers bore the Rothman cigarette graphics, and we hauled tobacco products for Benson and Hedges, but never in a Rothman's trailer. And when we parked them, they were always against a wall or some such barrier. Track Lock International is a company in Knoxville that is perfecting an integrated lock and alarm gizmo that attaches to trailer doors and is designed to discourage theft both in transit and when parked. It includes GPS tracking, which reveals real-time location and integrity data, so it will likely also help to prevent hijackings. So, no more tail gunners. One of my associates recently had $1,800 worth of fuel, diesel fuel, sucked out of his two trucks plus the reefer on his trailer in an unsecured yard, but with video surveillance. Unless an ID can be determined or a license plate read, there is no recourse. The RCMP said that even if they saw the pickup leaving the premises, there would be no way of proving that the fuel in its tidy tanks came from his trucks. It behooves one to have locking caps, but a sophisticated crook can cut those off with the right tool in no time at all. So much to think about. The federal government, through an announcement by its illustrious Minister of Transport, the Honorable Lisa Raitt, is finally getting its act together to harmonize with all provinces and the U.S. of A. the United Nations labeling and identification of hazardous cargo for the purposes of moving these dangerous goods across the country and the international border. The new regs will aid first responders following a crash or a spill and will bring about consistency and improved trade relations between the two countries? Huh? If you say so, Minister. Are you out there in Radioland as relieved as I am? I thought so. Do you ever remember saying to yourself, I want to grow up to be a politician? No, I don't remember ever saying that either, although I did run for municipal council once. If one reads between the lines of the script for today's radio broadcast, one will find quite a lot to do with politics. But then, is that so surprising, considering every breath we take has a political reference to it? If one spends any amount of time thinking about it at all, one will realize that everything one does, from the moment of wakefulness till slumber once again wraps its arms, its protective arms around us, is based on a political motive. I think the hypocrite that leads the Canadian Harpocracy perhaps helped Roger McGinn and the Birds write this tune, released in 2003, as he finally achieved his goal to change the face of Canada forever in 2006, for it was then that he bragged when entering the Prime Minister's office for the first time, "You won't recognize Canada when I'm through with it." How true. Robert Kennedy Jr. once quipped, "I wished Americans were more like Canadians until you elected Stephen Harper." Now, I know your day would not be complete without your knowing that Port Metro Vancouver, or PMV, has announced that all port-approved trucks have been fitted with GPS technology, the only port in North America to have taken this bold move. About 50 trucks didn't show up for the installation procedure, and they are currently ineligible to haul loads for the container terminals as a result. And you heard it right here, first on CKVS FM 93.7, the voice of all that is. It's somewhat difficult, at least where we live, to imagine a country that has no rivers or streams that require bridges to traverse, but there are quite a few, it seems. It's less difficult to wrap one's mind around the fact that much of the ancient and overburdened infrastructure concerning North America's bridges is crumbling, and none more so than in Quebec, a country within Canada that has lots of rivers and streams and bridges. And one of those bridges, the Pont de Champlain, or Champlain Bridge, which connects Montreal with the eastern townships, is one that has been the center of much heated discussion and has spawned a raging battle over the subject of to toll or not to toll. City of Montreal politicians are against tolling, tolls already being a contentious issue in that province. The new Champlain Bridge will cost upwards of $5 billion and is slated to be ready sometime in 2018. The consensus is that if tolls are unacceptable to the trucking industry, commercial traffic will overwhelm the Mercier and Jacques Cartier bridges and the La Fontaine Tunnel, and maybe even the A40 to Trois-Rivières. To be effective, tolls must benefit the industry by improving fuel consumption, time restrictions, and wear and tear, moving freight smoothly and efficiently to its destination with the least interference or inconvenience. So said the Bird Dog, and Mr. Fixit concurs. Stay tuned for the inevitable updates in future programming as the dispute over bridging troubled waters continues. Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. The original collaboration of the two began in 1957 as Tom and Jerry. By 1965, with the release of the Billboard hit The Sound of Silence and the inclusion of their music in the box office movie hit The Graduate, The fame of this friendship, which began as youths in the Jewish neighborhood in Queens, propelled them to popularity. Artistic arguments delayed the release of Troubled Waters. This was their last but most successful album, and they actually broke up in 1970. Since then, Paul and Art have come together for concerts or tours every 10 years, the most famous being the 1981 concert in Central Park with over 500,000 folks in attendance, making it the seventh largest in the history of music. They're the recipients of many awards, including several Grammys, and were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1990, and in 2004 were named by Rolling Stone magazine as number 40 on the 100 all-time greatest artists list. The year Simon and Garfunkel sang to 600,000 at the Colosseum in Rome. I wonder, was that more or less than 600,000? And folks, if that brought a tear to your eye, well, maybe if it didn't, this will. That's all. That's all she wrote for this episode of DTMM. Mr. Fix-It and the Bird Dog very much appreciate your attendance on this auspicious occasion. We are going this away, moving and grooving. Lights on for safety. Slow down for those work zones. Attend to your hearing appendages. Avoid nuclear devices. But for heaven's sake, keep those radios or PCs tuned to 93.7 The Voice to be challenged and stimulated throughout your waking hours. Even asleep, you'll gain subliminally. See ya.